Hey guys, welcome to the Provokers Podcast, where we talk about things you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
I'm Joan, also known as Jeepin's Feebins.
And I'm Ethan, otherwise known as FlabsXE Gaming on YouTube and Twitch.
And I am Noah, or NoahDog54, your host for this episode. Alright, not much has really happened in the last 5 minutes, so you guys got any small talk?
Well, are you going to explain to them why it's been the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, we're pre-recording these ahead of time. Like, for right now, we're pre-recording this in April, so you guys probably won't hear this until about May-ish?
It's either the end of May or early June, even.
Yeah, somewhere in that time period.
But, to answer your question, I guess, no. I don't have anything to say.
I mean, the only thing I can say is that for you guys at the time of listening, this school is almost over, so I'm sure you guys are happy about that. I personally know people that are going to be happy about that, so... I mean, high school typically gets out, like, super early June, because high schoolers get out early because of testing and stuff. So, all my fellow high schoolers, when I say fellow high schoolers, it's that film in high school. To all my high schoolers out there, hope you're doing well for the testing and stuff, because I know that's a stressful part of the year, especially if you're, like, a... Senior is usually a great time of the year. You're graduating soon, but for like sophomores and for like everybody else, I know it's a stressful time of the year because you have all these tests and you're going all over the place, especially if you're in like sports or everything else. So yeah, it's just sometimes it's a huge mess, but hopefully you're doing well.
Anyway, with that, Ethan, you got a headline for us?
The world's blowing up. No, I'm kidding. I really just had two headlines and I did that the previous one. So I kind of like the last episode I mentioned that the YouTube is testing a new feature. At the time of this coming out, the feature might be an actual feature now. I don't fully know. I can't, you know, go. I don't have a time machine to go check. But yeah, they're it might still be in the testing phase. It might already be done, or they might have scrapped it if the community's like this is stupid. Why are you doing that? Because YouTube occasionally listens to their audience. They sometimes do. I'll be interested to see if people do say this sucks, because I think it's kind of irrelevant. So with that being said, I don't know if people are going to be on the same side, but if they are, and if they say that, you know, oh, hey, you know, we noticed people hate this feature, so we're going to get rid of it. I'll be very interested to see if they actually do that, because they've said stuff like that before and then they've never done that. So we'll see, but, yeah, no, nothing really, you know, nothing. I mean, by the time this comes out, there might be a huge headline, like, so talking like, why aren't you idiots talking about it? But this is pre-recorded, so we don't know.
Yeah.
So I can't really do anything about that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but I think for the creator showcase,
I do for that. Yes. So I do like a lot of skit stuff because I think Vine, by the way, had a lot of good skit stuff. I think his name was Thomas Sanders. He was like a star over on Vine.
Yeah, I remember that.
then I flew myself right into the sun. But yeah, so I was in the dying age of Vine. Like that's when I first started watching Vine, was in the dying age. So like it was currently dying as I was watching it. But ever since TikTok and YouTube Shorts, I don't like TikTok that much, but ever since YouTube Shorts have come out, I've been loving watching people make skits and stuff. And one of my favorite skits creators is their name is Matt Injustice. I think it's how you say the last guy's name. Essentially, they make these skits. They make a lot of skits. I think their entire short channel is all skits. Well, what some of my favorites involve, like, them, where they're using the term, like, the phrase of a term, and going with the extreme. Like, this guy will be, like, they're having dinner with their friend, like, there's two of them, and he's having dinner with each other, and this one guy will be like, hey, can I take this chair? And there's, like, a separate chair, and the guy's like, yeah, and the guy that's taking the chair is like, thanks, boss. And the guy that's, like, that said yes to the chair is like, dude, I think they think I'm the boss of their company or whatever. And the other guy's like, no, they don't, that's just a term or phrase or whatever. And then something happens, they're like, sir, we need your approval on this thing. And they're talking to the guy they took the chair from. And he's like, you know what, private? You're fired. it's just like this entire skit of like him taking it to the extreme. And there was this one where he's like, I think I forgot the word they used, but it was basically like, oh, a captain. I think it was captain. They said thanks, Cap, or whatever they said. And the guy's like, I think I'm the captain of the military. They're like, no, they don't. That's just a turn of phrase. And then it goes through all this thing, and he's, like, in war shooting people. And it's just, like, and they have, like, a burial scene. And the guys are, like, that was the greatest captain I've ever seen. The guy's still up there, like, he's not a captain! It's just, like, the funniest skits ever. So, yeah, it's Matt and Justice. So it's, like, Justin, but Justice. And they do a lot of funny skits over there. So go check them out. They're awesome. They're so freaking funny, dude. I love those. I love those ones especially where they use the turn of phrase and it goes to the extreme. It's so funny. But yeah, go check them out. Like I said, Matt and Justice is the name of the channel.
All right. And with that, we can segue into this episode, which is prepping for the end of the world. You two boys are prepping for what is essentially a nuclear war between the U.S. and basically everybody. So basically think of it as you're surviving the nuclear fallout and you end up in like a fallout kind of world.
So the end of the world's already happened.
Yes.
Well, that's not prepping.
Well, that's not prepping. That's already happened.
Okay, fine. Then you're prepping for an atomic war that's going to kill everybody.
Okay. Just a preface, by the way, if this sounds familiar, John did an episode that was similar where it was literally called Toast to the End of the World or whatever. That was more so just like, what would you do if you knew the world was ending in a week? I think is what the premise of the episode was.
Mm-hmm.
This one's more centered around the fact that, like, we're given a scenario of how the world's ending, and instead of just being like, you know, I'm just gonna watch the sun explode. Instead of doing that, we're actually gonna be trying to take it seriously and prepping for how would we survive. Like, so nuclear bomb's getting dropped on us. Great, John, you want to go first?
Yep.
Well, I guess the first course of action is to get some kind of bomb shelter. Because if without that, you're basically screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure how I would go about that, but I guess I could, if I have prep time, then I could figure that out, and then I would be like, all right, shelter time. Get all my food together, make sure I have a stockpile for that, for when the bombs drop, and water, that's also important. A lot of people forget that one, and they have to drink out of toilets, which is no good. And that's probably the gist of the prepping for that scenario.
Ethan?
Well, for me, prepping involves, like, how am I protecting my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have the power to do much, but I that's like one of my immediate thoughts. And when it comes to nuclear stuff, you want to be underground, whether it's a bunker or sometimes even basements work if you can block off the basement in some way. Noah didn't give us a time frame of when this bomb's happening, so I'm going to say it's like we have 2 days notice because that's probably more lifelike. Maybe not even 2 days. Maybe like, let's say it's a day. Because if I give myself 2 days and I'm going to be like, oh, well, I should go to the store as soon as possible and get, you know, bulk up on water and stuff. You really want to bulk up on canned food, though. I don't know if John mentioned it, he might have mentioned that, but you want to bulk up on canned food because stuff with, like, you can't do produce because that's going to go bad. You can't do, like, refrigerated stuff because you're probably not going to have refrigerated or power when the bomb hits. So you have all this other stuff. So you got to stick to canned food. Make sure you have a can opener down there because you got to be able to open the damn can. And of course, John mentioned water. You got to have water. And I think that my best course of action would be to either, if we have a day, that might be. I mean, if everyone knows it's happening, then it's not going to happen. But if it's possible, me and my family would probably try and get out of where the bomb is being dropped, if at all possible. There's also, like, methods of just getting above the bomb and the radius, so, like, getting on a plane or getting in a helicopter and going super high or doing something like that. Now, if we had, like, a month's notice, you know, we could go to space, but that's not going to happen. So, can't do that. But, like I said, if it's more lifelike, which is, like, a day, then we'd probably just bulk up in the basement and hope that that works because we don't exactly live in an area where a storm bunker is present. We have one. There's like a mega storm bunker in Tech or in Arizona, I believe, but we wouldn't be able to get there in time. So, we'd probably just bulk up the base. I'd gather all the family members, make sure we all have stocked food and stuff. That's probably my best course of action.
Okay. Sad to hear none of you guys said anything about bottled water.
I literally just said getting did. Water. Like, what do you think about that?
John said it, then I said it. Are you paying attention?
I don't think he's paying attention.
I'm working on it. Alright, so. Let me just give you guys a different scenario then.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the topic, yeah.
Alright. A meteor is going to hit the state. The state's on, like, the coast we're on. It's about the size of, I don't know, let's just say it's, like, a decently sized meteor that's gonna probably fuck up some part of the country. What do you do to prep?
Well, with meteors, we're getting to a point now where we can actually make something traject the path of the meteor. So I'd almost say that, like, there's a chance we could move the meteor aside and have it go somewhere else, like have it land in the ocean, or maybe even it'll pass Earth entirely. Let's say that doesn't happen and the government's dumb. Your best choice of likelihood is probably, I don't think you could go underwater because of tsunamis that would form from it. I was gonna say you could go underwater. Not that I want to be underwater, but you could go under. But I don't think you could anyway because of the tsunamis. You probably, again, are the most safe in a basement or bunker of some sort. I can't really say anything too different from what I said before.
Yeah, I would say for this one, like, the bunker course of action is probably still the best course of action. You don't need to worry about food and water. I mean, a little bit need to worry about food and water, but not as much as a nuclear thing because it wouldn't be the radiation. There'd probably be still some messed up, like, you know, the wildlife and whatnot, but it would be more manageable, I'd imagine, than a nuclear attack.
Yeah, and also the nature stuff would be, like, post the blast and stuff.
Yep. Great. Let's see. Okay. Let's go with a supernova forms, and it's going to blow up in a week.
We're all dead.
Yep, I can't do anything about that one.
That one is literally, we're all gonna die. At that point, it's like, you know what? See you soon, Jesus. That's about it for us down here. Yeah, there's nothing to prep for that. You're just like, I guess in terms of prepping, I would say I'm gonna tie up some loose ends that I can in a week, I suppose. I'm gonna make a final video. It's totally not clickbait. The world's ending, guys. You know, get some last minute views, I suppose. Not that it really matters. But honestly, probably what I would do is make like a super serious video, like, hey guys, thanks so much for supporting and that kind of stuff. I'd probably make a super somber video with YouTube. We probably couldn't get a podcast episode on time, so we couldn't do anything there. With my book and my game, I guess I would maybe, but my mind would probably try and find a way to save it, like salvage it, because it's a supernova, so it's not, but there's no way to do that. So yeah, probably just spend time with family. I would try and spend time with friends as well if possible, because you have a week, so you'd probably have to bicycle there because the roads are going to be blocked, the planes are all over the place, so it probably would be hard to get like a ride from like a car or plane, but if at all possible, I'd try and do that, because it's a supernova, so you got to say goodbye to everybody, because everyone's blowing up, so.
Yeah, I would say for that one, for the audience's sake, you toast the end of the world for that scenario.
Alright. I'm also doing points and trying to think of the next thing, so give me a second.
Cool.
You can stop saying cool.
Take a shot every time he says cool.
Oh god, I would be drunk.
I was gonna say, all our viewers are getting drunk at this point. If you're of age, Jimmy, I'm looking at you. You're not of age,
Jimmy. Stop.
Put the vodka down, Jimmy. Put the vodka down.
Can't believe this, Jimmy. You're better than this.
There is a zombie outbreak.
Hmm. Well, I think our best, I think my best course of scenario is grabbing John because he has like a sunbeam on his head there. And so I could use it as a lighthouse. I could use it as a, like a flashbang, like John said in the last episode. So, you know, I could use it for a variety of things, but in all seriousness though, it would just be like, it's, where's it starting? Like that's a good question. Where's the zombie outbreak starting?
The zombie outbreak starts in New York.
Yep. Seems likely. I'm going to assume it's New York City, cause that's probably the most likely place.
It's New York City.
If it's New York City, their chances of coming to where I am are slim. But let's say there's like a couple mobs that do. Guns is probably the best bet here. The one thing, though, that you got to keep in mind with zombie apocalypse, and I think many people say this as well, is most oftentimes zombie apocalypse, the enemy is not the zombies, it's other people. Because other people turn selfish, they try to kill you, they like do all this stuff, they think that you're, maybe sometimes it's accidental, and they think you're a zombie. So the greatest enemy to humanity is humanity in that type of scenario. Because, and oftentimes, when you see, like, The Walking Dead or something, it's people killing each other sometimes, so it's like, you guys are literally doing the exact opposite of what you're meant to do, because if we were all to team up, then the zombies would have no chance. But because we are self-centered, and we, you know, we do all that crap, then, yeah, that's how it works. So, I would do my best to protect my family in some way, again, like I said with the other one. We have guns, but not the ones we would probably need. So if we knew they were coming, then we could go to a gun store pretty easily and get some, right? But if we didn't know they were coming, even then we probably could still go get some. So yeah, we'd find a way to get some and then hoard our ground in our house. Make sure the windows are covered, doors are covered. Like they just don't get to us, you know. This is also a scenario where you need to stockpile food and water though. So
yeah.
Canned food. I mean, power might still be active. I guess not if the power grid goes down, because then who's there to maintain it?
Mm-hmm.
Like if it gets overrun by zombies, but you might have it for a while. So some fresh stuff is fine, but you mainly want to prioritize bottled water and like canned food of that kind of sort. So yeah, that's probably what I would do.
Okay. Johnny boy.
All right, so I would, make sure I have a bag full of, supplies, in case I need to bolt out of where I am. I would be like, okay, let's see. Armored up, wear all my long sleeve, don't care about the heat, I'll die of heat stroke before I get bit by the zombie. As like, if I would have to run from where I currently am to somewhere else, like say like my city's overrun by zombies, I'm not sure where I would go. Probably just run in a random direction, more than likely. Maybe not the most logical choice of action, but probably the most likely for me. But yeah.
Alright. Just telling you points real quick again. Alright, this time the bubonic plague is back and stronger than ever. How do you prep for that?
Quarantine.
If we learned everything from COVID, you lock yourself away.
Let everyone else die around you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want to go first with this one?
My first thought with this one would be similar to The Stand, but which is about a plague literally wipes out 99% of humanity, and humans wipe out the rest.
fun.
So, but the main thing is probably quarantine. Is definitely the way to go, because obviously I'm assuming you said bubonic plague, which does still exist, but it's treatable. So I imagine in this case it's a genetic mutation of the virus that's not curable. Quarantine is the way to go. Make sure you stock up on the
foods. I assume Wada still is running for at least a while. And if I do need to go out, wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like a mask would be your best line of protection, but all right.
It's better than not having a mask.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's better than going out and being like, well, you know, if it gets
I'm
going to
sniff the plague victims.
You just hold in your breath the entire, like, 20 minutes you're out for a walk.
Don't breathe.
This is no burn a walk.
Yeah, for me, I guess, with the bubonic plague, like John said, it's treatable. So I'm like him. I'm just gonna assume it's genetic or something. But with this type of thing, it's more so about like to me, it's more so about like no, you can go out if you need to, but like John said, if you have a mask, which you know it's not foolproof, it's not gonna protect you all the time. But if humanity as a whole is like, oh crap, it's back, we're gonna be a lot smarter than we were back then when it started. And we also have more advanced technology now. So I almost think that this is the least threatening of what we've done so far. Mm. And I think the world will probably run more smoothly once we all realize we need to quarantine. I'm sure hospitals might be overrun, kind of like COVID was a little bit. But once that's over and done with, I think the world will kind of just return back to normal. So the only prepping I would really do is maybe just get some a little bit extra water, maybe some extra food in case we can't go out for a while. But that's really it, man.
All right. Okay. The U.S. is at war with Russia.
I mean, Russia. Is it just a bomb again?
No. It's not nuclear this time. And Russia is dropping a hydrogen bomb in 2 days.
You said it wasn't a bomb.
How do you call it? A hydrogen bomb is like an atomic bomb, but it's bigger and way more fucking destructive.
So it's just a bigger version of what just happened, besides the nuclear part.
Think of it like this. If a hydrogen bomb was dropped in the middle of the U.S., it would wipe out about 44 states.
Okay, that's great. Now, what I'm saying is, if it's another bomb, we're just going to say the exact same thing we did from the nuclear one.
All right, give me a second.
Like, there's other natural disasters you can go with. Well, that's not even natural, but like, there's other natural disasters you can go with.
An E5 tornado is coming from the state John is in up to New York.
Oh, I thought you were just talking to John specifically. I was like, oh, an E5 tornado in John's region. Yay! Good luck, John. See you, buddy.
It goes straight through John's house and then it disappears. What are you going to do, man?
Yeah, John. You're it starts in your place, man. So you want to go ahead and start this one?
Makes sense. Board up the windows, but like, make sure you stay away from the windows. Put up the mattress just in case, because you know if it goes straight to my house and like picks up my house and chucks it. I mean, not much I can do about that. But, you know, get away from the windows mainly. At this point, I feel like it's one of those things that you just gotta have to sit out and hopefully it won't just rip apart your home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, the thing that Noah forgot is that tornadoes weaken as they're on land. So that by the time it even got to New York, I'm pretty sure I'd be just fine. It'd probably even be like a tropical storm at that point. So I don't need to do as much preparation. I just need to, let's make it a bit more dangerous. Let's say it stays as an F1, you know, which F1s are still pretty bad. So with John saying boarding up the windows is not going to do crap, F5 tornadoes will literally just rip your house off the foundation. So mm-hmm. Good luck, buddy. For me though, with a F1, those should be just fine. Because like boarding up the windows in that case is probably better because we don't want to deal with that. But the thing is though, we'd probably be in the basement anyway. So I don't know if we'd go through the trouble of dealing with the windows. There are windows in the basement, we'd board off those. But there's no, if there's on the windows on the top floor, I don't think we'd care because we'd be in the basement. So, yeah, this is a sense of, you know, again, same thing, food and water, stock them in the basement. We can bring our devices down if we need to, because tornadoes are, I wouldn't say they're short, but when they're over you, they're short because they're going so fast. So, you know, we'd probably be scared for a solid hour or so until it, like, left the area. And I'm sure there'd be some damage to the house. I haven't read up exactly what F1 tornadoes do to houses. I know they can sometimes break off chimneys and roofs and stuff sometimes. So it depends on how well structured our house is, which our house is pretty old, so I don't have much hope in it. But yeah, so it would depend on a variety of factors. But I think we would be fine if we stayed in the basement and we had the devices and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
All right, pretty close game so far. Let's go with this. Cordyceps have evolved to the point they can now infect humans. The Last of Us is becoming a reality. How do you prep for it?
By shooting absolutely anyone I see. So the way the cordyceps work is, if they're in the very beginning stages, you don't know if they got bit or not. So it's kind of like The Walking Dead. So yeah, you'd have to, like, if you go outside, you'd have to, like, not go near anybody. It's basically a solitude simulator. Because you'd need to be alone. I guess you could be with your family, I suppose. But, like, if you send all your family out for resources all at once and you all die, then great job. You ruined everything. So it's smarter to send, like, one or two people out to go do that. Realistically, though, you know, I think we as humans have evolved to the point where if something like that happens, lock away the people that are, you know, infected already. Sorry to those patient zeros, but, you know, you have to be sacrificed. Yeah, I mean, prepping, I guess, like I said, it would just be sort of similar to Walking Dead, where you just get guns, I suppose, or you get weapons. So it doesn't have to be guns. It could be, like, just weapons of some sort. The problem with cordyceps is they're not smart enough to control the full brain, so they can only control, like, I'm pretty sure you'd just be brain dead, so I'm pretty sure it's like zombies almost. Because realistically, The Walking Dead would never happen. Realistically, The Last of Us would never happen. Because the cordyceps is not strong enough to take over the whole brain, like I said. So it could only take over. Maybe it could take over the slight movement, but it couldn't, like, walk around normally. So you could almost tell if someone's infected. So I would say, yeah, avoid people that look like they're walking backwards and that they have no clue what the hell's going on. Yeah, if it does end up happening, I feel like the government could just, like, you know, not sacrifice, but, like, you know what I mean, but, like, lock away the people that are patient zeros and try to get them fixed up before they're back in the population. So I wouldn't even be too concerned about that type of thing.
Okay. John?
I mean, similar to the zombie one, it's just, like, don't go near people, and if you see a zombie coming at you, just go bang bang and then they're dead.
Okay. Alright. How much time do we have left in this?
Man, we only had like half an hour going.
Alright. I've got more, so don't worry. Alright, just gonna tell you points again.
Can't believe it.
I can't believe you're doing your job.
Oh, wow. You can't believe I'm doing my job? That's just -5 fucking points for you.
Wow. I can't believe this.
You can't believe that either.
I'm very,
I'm doing your job. And you can't believe your last points. Wow.
Yeah, I'm very incredulous today.
All right. Okay, let's go. Okay, so if I think about this, Ms. Gork, 2 nuclear reactors, both in your states, go ground zero. Well, basically means they blow the fuck up. Kind of like what happened with Chernobyl. The radiation is in the air, it's in the water, and it's even infected some of the cattle and food. How do you prep?
All right, John, you want to start, John?
Well, if it's infecting the cattle and the food sources in the area, then I think the best course of action is
find a new area. Don't be there anymore. You know, that's less of a end of the world stakes sort of thing, but you know, just leave. Don't stay in the irradiated place.
Yeah, for me, it's all about, like, if nuclear reactors are exploding, and, like, yeah, you'd have to avoid any, like, cattle, you'd have to avoid basically, like, any animal, because they could be contracting the radiation. You also, at this point, would need a Geiger counter, because Geiger counters will tell you radiation, whether it's inside items, whether it's inside food, doesn't matter, it'll tell you the radiation of whatever item you're pointing it at. So, Geiger counter would be the first thing I would buy, so I can test anything if it's radiated. If it's too radiated, then I would get out of the, I would throw it away or get it out of the area, whatever I would need to do. But getting a Geiger counter, I think, to me, would be the best course of action for that type of scenario. If it's so radiated to the point, like, where John was talking about, where you just have to leave, then yeah, we'll do that, I suppose. But, yeah, I'm going to go off the basis that it's not so radiated that we can't walk around anywhere. We just have to walk around with masks or, like, those special, like, hazmat masks or whatever, which would suck balls, but, you know, we would have to do it, I guess. Or you just leave, like John said, or you just leave. So it depends on what we do. I can see us doing either, because moving in that quick a fashion would be kind of difficult, but I could see it happening. But I think the Geiger counter is the main thing. That's why I talked about it first, because I think that's the main thing I would do, is get a Geiger counter so I could test out food to test, like, I would probably avoid all produce and all, like, whether it be animals or vegetables, doesn't matter. They could all be contaminated. I would stick with canned stuff that was farmed, like, a while ago, so that I know that it's safe. And just stick with that for a while.
Alright. Selling up the points once more. Alright. You know you guys should talk about selling up the points, right?
No, it's impossible.
No. I don't really feel like it.
Yeah.
Alright then, but I guess in post to throw on some elevator music while I tally up points.
You don't tell anything, Ethan.
Yeah, you tell me what future Ethan has to do. That feels like not your job.
That feels like not your job. I feel like that sentence can be used for anybody that's like ever given advice on someone else's job. It's like, I feel like that's not your job.
Yeah. Alright, okay, this will be interesting.
Will it?
The year is 2047. Androids are a thing. There are so many androids in the world, and they all become sentient and assume that human beings are basically a waste of space and are out to kill every human. How do you prep?
Well, I'll go first for this one, because I have a very simple answer, and that answer is water. You can just stock up buckets of water. Anytime an android tries to come walking in, either not, I can just splash water on them. They'll either short circuit, or they'll be at least be stunned for enough time for me to bash them with a hammer.
Yeah.
So, that's my answer.
That's a good answer. Okay. I would also say EMPs. I mean, I probably wouldn't have access to one, but you go EMP, be like, boom, you just can't move. And then while they can't move, you dump a bucket of water on them. Or water guns, also good.
Oh, yeah, water balloons. So we never think of water balloons either. You know, just like, just throw water balloons at them. And they, you might not have enough time, because that might not be enough water. Mm. But, you know, it'd be interesting.
Okay.
No,
I wasn't. I really thought this was going to make you guys think and take longer so I could actually tell you points and have a fucking consistent point system.
Yeah,
well having a consistent point system is reliant on the host themselves, so that's kind of sounds like a skill issue.
Yeah.
Alright, okay. Acid rain is forecasted to happen in 2 days. How do you prep? Oh, and it also hits both of your states.
Don't go outside.
Yeah, pretty simple.
I mean, like, how long is it? You gotta tell us how long it's lasting, because if it's like a day, then I'm just not going outside for an entire day.
The acid rain lasts for a week.
Alright, I guess I'm staying inside for a week. I mean, you know, gamers know that staying inside for an entire week is not... This was the challenge meant for gamers, because, you know, gamers just stay inside all the time. They're devoid of sunlight, so, you know, I think that's pretty easy for gamers. So yeah, to stay inside, me personally, we already have enough food for just a week at home, not without even prepping, really. So I would just, we would just continue as normal and just want to go outside. The only thing I could imagine doing is if my family members didn't know, I might warn them that, hey, some acid rain's coming, you might want to watch out. Because I'm assuming that umbrellas, like, melt with it, so I'm not even going to bother.
You're not assuming that everything melts?
Cars would not, anything metal would only rust over time. So I guess you could temporarily use your car. I guess, although, if you wanted to be super safe, you could put your car in a garage of some sort or under an overhang. That's a thing you could prep for. But really, I just, you know, stay home. Play video games, play board games with family, make dinner, you know, just kind of function as normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're overestimating acid rain, man.
I'm starting to think I'm overestimating a lot of things. John, you have a fucking answer.
I mean, what Ethan said really is just read a book, you know? Don't walk out, open your mouth to the acid rain and go down your gullet. If you avoid that, pretty good.
Yeah, you know, that does not sound like a good idea. Yeah.
Alright, okay. An active volcano is set to erupt. It is in New York.
There's no active volcanoes in New York.
Fuck you, for this story there is.
I mean, how big is it? Because, like, realistically, yeah. I'd be fine. Be like, oh, sucks to be you guys.
Sucks to be you guys.
Okay, let's put it at this. It's the size of the one that killed off everyone in Naples? Okay, I forgot what the...
Are you thinking of Pompeii?
Fucking place was it? Pompeii, thank you. That's a fucking bonus point for you.
Okay. The answer would be, I'm leaving. Bye. Sorry, New York, you guys are on your own. We're all leaving. You know, at this point, we wouldn't move anywhere, but we probably, like, just travel, and if it's safe to come back, we'll check to see if our house was in the radius. If it was, I guess we're starting fresh. If not, then hey, we'll take our stuff and we'll keep on living life. Volcanoes, often the magma needs a lot of momentum and hill to get through a lot of stuff. We're in a super flat area, so I don't imagine it would do much. The only thing that would be a problem would be the ash, which would create like a wintry type scenario where like the sunlight wouldn't get through. At that point, you just have like make sure your garden is like protected. So if you're having like garden stuff, whether it be like vegetables or whatever growing, I suppose, then make sure that's protected in some way. But yeah, I mean, we'd probably just, if we're in the race, we'd just travel somewhere else for a while. And if we're not, then we'd probably just function as normal.
Okay, John.
I think even that size, if all the way in Virginia, I'd be fine. But if not, I'm just, you know, take a vacation. You know, go to. I have some relatives in Germany right now. Go see them, maybe. Be like, hey, you know, America's got a volcano, so I'm staying over here with you guys.
It's kind of an excuse to like travel, you know, like, right, oh well, yeah. Gosh, jilly darn, there's a volcano here. I guess I'm going to Germany.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I've got one that might work that should make you guys think somewhat. Let's put it, the coast we're on, there's a massive wildfire going on, burning down houses, trees, land, farms, basically fucking everything. How do you prep?
Well, this one's really simple, because you just go outside your house, you tell the fire to kindly stop, and it'll go around you.
That's not how fire works at all.
It is exactly how fire, like, if you don't hurt its feelings, it'll be nice to you. It's just like, hey, fire, that's really rude of you to be burning down houses like that. Can you not burn down mine? You can just go head on over to John's. And they'll be like, sure, man. They go around. I mean, wildfires are just like, there's wildfire protective stuff. So if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, they have like house related fire protection. Keep a bunch of like water and fire extinguishers on by. Also, you can have what's the term? It's like you can, it's a machine you put in the ground that's not a sprinkler. It's like a turbo sprinkler almost, but it's not. It has more force to it. You can have those set up so that once the fire is approaching, you turn them on. You're only supposed to turn them on when the fire is actually approaching, because if you do it otherwise, you're gonna like make the roads flooded basically. But yeah, you can turn those on. I think at that point, also I'm like kind of on a peninsula in terms of river, so like in the terms of the scenario, when it get to me anyway. Let's say the fire can jump over the river, so yeah, if it does that, then we have fire protection stuff. Realistically though, it wouldn't get to me in the first place because there's a river separating the coast and us. Actually, there's multiple, but like the huge one would be the deal breaker. So that's my answer.
And I'm imagining it starting in New York and working the way towards me, and just let the fire department handle it. You know, it's literally their job.
Man, that's true.
And if they tell me to evacuate, I evacuate. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, cool. Fuck.
He's turned into Wade.
Let's do this. A earthquake that is the size of... How the fuck are earthquakes measured again?
I mean, the one in Japan was pretty brutal.
Yeah. I'm trying to give details so it works, but let's just put it this way. There's a massive earthquake double the size of Japan's that hits from New York to Virginia.
Are we on a tectonic plate that would cause that to happen?
John, I don't know. Just go with it, please.
Alright, we're gonna ignore science and just say that happened, and I would say...
What's science for right now?
What's the thing they would... the drills you would do in school? You'd get on your desk just
do that? Okay, let's ignore school stuff, because that's all baloney. You do want to get under a solid object, but desks are not solid. You can get crushed under those. If it's double the size of Japan, then the honest answer would be we're screwed, because the double size of Japan would probably just create an entire gap in the Earth crust, and that we'd all fall through it. So yeah, that'd be over. Let's assume that's not going to happen, because then there's not prepping at all. You're just going to die. If it's an earthquake that's just damaging like the ground, then all you would need to do is get under a... I would probably recommend like a concrete thing that's stable, not like a concrete bridge, because the bridge collapses, you're gonna just get murdered. Like a more of a wall type thing where it's actually solid, and if the wall will be structurally stable to hold it. Most things like houses and bridges would collapse probably, so you don't want to be under anything like that. Honestly, probably chilling in your car on the road is probably the best course of action here, because you're in a car, so you're safe that way. The only thing that would be dangerous to you is if the crust did break and you fell through, but I mean, that might happen anyway. So yeah, your best course of action, if you're in a house, get under something stable that's not like a roof or something, because your roof might fall collapse on itself. There's no really need to stock for water, because earthquakes don't really take that long to happen. So yeah, I'd just get under something stable, I suppose.
John,
I mean, I kind of already answered.
All right,
did you?
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, get under something.
Get under a fucking desk.
You know what? No.
All right. Let's go with this. An incurable strain of malaria breaks out. It starts in Virginia.
I think you want me dead. I think that's what the goal of this episode is. What scenarios can I make to make John die?
It's not just specifically making you die. I'm just giving different fucking places where fucking things start.
Oh, no, man. Sounds like you have to kill me. But get bug zapper so the mosquitoes don't spread it. And quarantine.
Yeah, get a bug zapper, he says. Yeah, for me, because it starts in Virginia, New York would just close its borders and no people from Virginia would be allowed in. So I'd probably be fine.
All right. John, what time are we on?
47 minutes.
Oh, fuck my life.
He's the one that chose this episode, by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
I really should have fucking prepped ahead of time, apparently. There is a massive food outage. This applies to anything like cattle, chicken, and canned goods. How do you prep?
Okay, well, you didn't say anything about produce, so I guess I'm going to produce. There's a lot of... You can do a lot of vegetables, so you can almost make your own canned vegetables at that point, because the canned vegetables are basically the same produce, just they're canned and they're more preserved. So it'd probably be a mess to get to the store, but once you got to the store, you just grab the produce and get out of there. You'd probably want to just get as much as you can, because at that point, they're probably going to put a limit on it, because nowadays, ever since COVID with the toilet paper thing, they put limits on stuff like that. Like, for example, we're recording this, by the way, like, still in April, and we're recording right before the eclipse. And where I'm at, you're going to be able to see the eclipse, like, in full swing. So, like, I know where I'm going to be. Like, the place where I'm at is going to be super busy. And they've limited certain items to certain people. Like, you can only get, I think it's two packages of, I think it was two packages of paper towel rolls or whatever it was. So, like, they would limit it. But I would try, maybe me and my family go, and we each, like, do the limit or whatever. So that way we can come home with a lot of stuff. And you can do a lot of stuff with produce. You have, like, vegetables, you have fruits, potatoes count. I'd probably just stick with produce and all that jazz. I mean, you can also get frozen stuff. Frozen stuff is preserved already. So you have a bunch of frozen. Not that they're really good for you, but it's still food. So if you're really running low on food, then you could always just stick with frozen stuff. I'd probably get a bunch of produce and frozen goods.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, I'd say on top of what Ethan said about, you know, making your own, growing your own stuff and frozen stuff, the food I already have, I would just ration to be like, okay, can only have so much of each day to let make this stuff last. So that could last me a while, and like as long as someone's like working towards like getting food back to normal, then yeah, eventually the problem will be solved.
All right.
No, that was a good point of like rationing. I didn't really think of that, but yeah, rationing the current food you have to.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with. I'd go with a hurricane, but I don't know if that would even happen in a city like Virginia or New York.
Virginia's had hurricanes in the past, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a coast there, so.
John was a sass over here, holy shit.
I can't even care about the fucking sass right now. Alright. A record-breaking, huge-ass hurricane has started in Virginia and is somehow making its way to New York. How do you prep?
Well, John, it's starting with you, so go ahead.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of knowledge on how to prep for hurricanes, so I would realistically die because you said record-breaking. This is the biggest hurricane ever. And yes. It's headed straight towards my house, so I'm screwed, basically.
Alright, that's it? You're just screwed?
Yeah, just screwed.
Okay. Alright, well, so because of the way hurricanes work is when they're on land, they become weaker. So by the time I got to New York, it'd probably be like like an actual measurable actual measurable hurricane. He said it's coming to New York, but he didn't say that, like, the way hurricanes would work is it would curve around, like, before it got to me. So I would probably just be, we'd probably get some, like, light rainfall from it, like, the aftermath of it. But I don't imagine we'd like realistically get anything major. We might like the only thing I can think of is like the creeks flooding. Is like maybe certain streets would flood a little bit because like we'd get the we'd get the side piece. We wouldn't get the actual center of it because it would be curving and it wouldn't be going towards where I am. So because the part of New York where I am is New York City would definitely get slammed. So I could see them flooding, especially because they're on a major coast. So I could see them flooding, but that doesn't really affect me that much. The only thing I can think of is maybe we would prep a little bit in the sense that we would go get some canned and bottled water just in case we couldn't go to the store for a while. Cause if the roads are flooded, you can't really drive too much. Cause obviously the water prevents you from going too far. You can still drive a little bit depending on how much is there, but so we'd probably just in case we'd probably go get some. And then we'd probably prepare for a power outage because if the roads are flooded, it's likely that the power lines or the power facility is flooded too. So we'd probably prepare for a power outage, which at that point, you know, you just have flashlights, you have your power banks ready for your phones and everything, so you can still have communicate with that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'll probably just do if it does if the power does go out, I'll probably just do whatever what we usually do with the power out. We just play board games, talk with each other, just hang out, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'll probably just do one more from what John said before.
Alright. Yeah. Well, let me make it a good one then. Let's go with... Okay. This one should be a little bit different. The U.S. is at war with Vietnam. Vietnam is dropping mustard gas bombs on New York and Virginia. How do you prep? You have one day.
I don't know what the hell that is, so you're going to have to explain it to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Mustard gas is a chemical weapon that if it gets on you, it basically burns you alive.
Alright, so basement time it is again. Close yeah. the like, not only close the windows, but like block the windows with something that like that air can't get through, whether it be caulk or whatever you would do it with. And yeah, bring like the same thing with the other bunker related ones. I go get prepped with food, all that jazz, and just stay in the basement for a while until it blows over. I don't know if that kind of thing does blow over. If not, then I guess we'll all die in the basement. But
it would take a while to clean up, but sure.
Yeah, imagine the real Tay would take care of that pretty quickly.
Probably, John.
But I would say, you know, just like Ethan said, get in the basement. Don't breathe in mustard gas.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Alright.
Okay. I'm progressively losing his mind.
I am progressively losing my fucking mind. Alright, I think we can end this hell show now. Would you guys like to hear points? Who wants to hear points first?
Oh, he ain't mine.
Okay, thank you, John. John, you, for once, this was a high point game. You have 90 points.
Pretty good.
Ethan? Yep. And Ethan, you have 88. Making John the winner. So, John, do you have a winner speech?
You know, I will say I'm not entirely sure how I got to this victory, but I'm happy nonetheless. And it was don't die, people.
Oh, wait a minute! I forgot to take away 5 points earlier.
What?
I'm kidding. Keep going.
This gave John a mini heart attack.
He's like, what did I do?
But, no, it was a topic of discussion today. And we talked.
It was a topic. That's John. That's hilarious.
Hey, Ethan, you got a loser speech?
Nah.
Alright.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, this is so fucking great.
I already know what I'm naming this episode.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope we provoke the conversation and make you laugh along the way. You can find Ethan on YouTube at CollapseXDGaming and on Twitch under the same handle. You can find John on Twitch at Jeevan Stevens. He may or may not be live streaming by this point in time. I'm not entirely sure.
He's not.
Okay. You can find me on Instagram at NoahDog5434. I also run our Instagram. It's the Provokers Official if you want to give us a follow there. We also have a Patreon, which includes tiers for me, John, and Ethan. I forget what they cost and what they come with. But essentially, you could donate from $1 up to $100. And if you donate $100, well, I think we're legally obligated to pay you.
Yeah, it's legally binding. We all signed the contract. So you do have to deal with John's bald head, though. That's part of the agreement. So if you think of his bald head as like a headlight, then you're going to have to deal with that.
Yep. And we also have extended code episodes on the Patreon store. The first 5 are $3, just to dip your toes in the water, see if you like them. The rest are $5 after. If you're buying on iOS, you're being screwed over a little bit because, you know, Apple likes to upcharge. And, yeah, I don't think I missed anything. So with that, we'll see you guys next time. Fuck.